Our gospel for this Sunday continues the story that we heard last week in the 9th chapter of the gospel according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. God, Jesus is walking along, sees Matthew in a tax booth, causes him to be a disciple. Causes a little bit of a controversy because you don't choose those kinds of people. They're not righteous. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. And in that, he's interrupted to go and raise a girl who had died, the daughter of a synagogue ruler. And on his way there, he heals a woman who had been suffering from a bleed. Then he continues on and ends up healing two blind men and curing a demoniac. Now we get to this. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Then Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to cure every disease and every sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, also known as Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon the Cananean, and Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions: "Go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, proclaim the good news. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. You received without payment, give without payment. Take no gold or silver or copper in your belt, no bag for your journey, or two tunics, or sandals, or a staff, for laborers deserve their food. Whatever town or village you enter, find out who in it is worthy and stay there until you leave. As you enter the house, greet it. If the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. If it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet as you leave that house or town. Truly, I tell you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town." The Gospel of our Lord. Praise you. Please be seated. Now, I understand, and any of you from the state of Texas? No one admits it in public. Yeah. I understand that there is a requirement of Texans that if you offer pie as a dessert, you must include ice cream. It's that way you can remember the a la mode. In July, I'm going to go and visit, we're going to meet up with my brother-in-law and sister-in-law and their four kids in the state of Florida. And one of the things we're going to go do is see the manatees. And I understand that the star in one of the places, they named him Hugh. And they just built a new habitat for humanity. I had a friend who was telling me once about how he was just such a kind, giving person. He had this wonderful example of it, that he just, most times when we give things, sometimes people don't receive them in the spirit of which we intend, you know? So my friend was telling me about how he once gave up his seat on the bus to a blind person. And everyone thought that was fine, except for he was the driver. Oh, the humanity. Oh, sorry. That's a different thing. Notice Jesus looks at his disciples and says, "Here you go. 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 And don't pack any luggage. Don't pack any luggage whatsoever. Don't have extra clothes, a change of clothes, a staff, extra money, nothing. Wow. Talk about an exercise in faith, isn't it? But let's also be honest. In that society, it was truly an exercise in trust, which of course leads to faith. Jesus wasn't asking his disciples to do something all that insane. One of the things we tend to forget is our lives now and 2,000 years ago, what Jesus and his disciples experience, what they do, and what we do are in completely alien experiences to one another. When we're looking at planning our travels and our trips, we're figuring out where we can stay. Oh, maybe we'll do the Motel 6, or maybe we'll do the Red Roof Inn, or the Holiday Inn, or the Days Inn, or the Hilton, or the Hyatt, or the Park, or whatever. There's a whole industry that we call hospitality. 2,000 years ago, you didn't have that. Now, a lot of emphasis seems to be around Christmas on the poor unmentioned, other than the fact that there's supposedly no room in the inn innkeeper around Christmas. Well, there's an inn. Yes, oftentimes in larger towns, there might have been an inn. But the reality is, whenever you traveled, you were relying on the hospitality of neighbors. There wasn't the corner inn or the hotel or anything else like that. There wasn't a hospitality industry. There was a requirement of hospitality on everyone. To this day, in many places in the Middle East, showing poor hospitality is an incredibly bad faux pas. And on Father's Day, we don't want faux pas. Give it a moment. All right. It was an incredible sin in many ways to not show hospitality. There are actually books and rules and regulations on how you're supposed to do it in various cultures. Even your enemy could expect hospitality from you for a given period of time. And your honor and your family's honor was at stake if you showed poor hospitality. And yes, that includes food and shelter and clothing. It is about caring for the entire person's safety and security. It wasn't just about, do you have a room to let for 50 cents? It was about you bringing within your space someone else. It might be related, might not be, and caring for them as if they were your own. Hospitality. Do it or else. Because, and this is what the expectation was, he's telling his disciples, go out. Now, for the disciples, they kind of go, all right, that makes sense to a point. But there are other things in here that might be a little odd. He's telling his disciples to pack light, which might be for us a way of reminding ourselves of how much stuff do we drag with us. And I'm not just talking about physical things, but also other expectations or requirements. How much baggage do we drag with whenever we try to go? Because remember, the earliest Christians were called people of the way. Christians didn't get their name Christians until much later in the city of Antioch, which meant that they had to travel. But before that, they were known as people of the way, not the place. Not the location, not the altar, not the lectern, not the building. They are people of the way. Don't take a whole bunch with it. Now, we have the benefit of space. We have this benefit of location. We have all of these things, and we are called to be good stewards of it. But at the same token, let us not lose sight of the fact that our energy and our effort is supposed to be on going, not on staying. That the reason why we gather is so that we can go. So we can receive grace, and then we can go and show grace. But notice that the message. Notice the message. There's two basic components of the message. The kingdom of God has come near, and peace. That's it. Wait a minute. But what about this doctrine? What about this? What about, Pastor, we just had that whole thing a couple weeks ago about the Holy Trinity. How many people did they go out and then they said, well, it has to be in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit? And were they talking about whether or not women could share the good news and whether or not it could be this or could you wear this kind of clothes or that kind of clothes? What's the ruling on all of that? The kingdom of God is near. And peace. And the sad fact is, how much of that kind of gibberish I just threw out, and how much of the stuff that tends to get thrown out to people, almost seems to make the kingdom of God seem a little further out, and doesn't really bring peace. Now, please hear me, I'm not throwing out good thinking. But is our faith something that brings care and relief and release? Or does our faith bring imposition, requirement, and demands? Which one's showing hospitality? The other thing is, they said not to move around. Pastor, I thought you said they're supposed to be people away, not the place. Yes, not to move around. That's to mean, will you dig in? Will you still try to do? This isn't meant to be some kind of flighty, door-to-door kind of thing. In any way, we look at how a door-to-door kind of thing might be. But just the understanding of just get in with and care for and be with. That this isn't supposed to be some drive-by, Jesus loves you, Jesus loves you, Jesus loves you, Jesus loves you, Jesus loves you. You know, the kingdom of God is near in a high-speed, low pass. No. What to do if people don't respond well to peace? Knock the dust off and go. That also is baggage you don't need to take with you. Oh, I don't know if I reached those people. Oh, I don't know if I did a good enough job. Oh, look at what those people are doing. Let it go. Keep on going. Try again. Now, one of the things also to think about when talks about the kingdom of God being near, that the kingdom of God being near was to be embodied in significant ways. Notice the list. You're supposed to heal, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. I can do that? Yes. You can. Do we expect to see transformation? Do we expect to see anything? Or do we kind of hold our heads down and go, I don't know if I'm able. I don't think I can. Do we have any expectation for positivity? And if the answer is no, why are we never surprised by it? If life is Eeyore, well, I guess it's just going to stay this way. Because fundamentally, to accept the fact that that is possible means to accept the fact that God has actually blessed you. There's trust. That you are capable. Well, I don't know. Yes, you do. But there's supposed to be something tangible. It's not just, oh, the kingdom of God is near. Okay. Is it kind of hovering? Is it kind of looming? Is it kind of stalking? I mean, what do you mean? No. It has come near in the reality of lives being positively changed. Reconciliation, healing, peace, new life. And yes, you're a part of it. Yes, you are. Because that is an act of hospitality. Hospitality, if you go and visit someone and they don't take care of your needs, but they say, I'm here if you need anything, is kind of empty, isn't it? You know, call me if you need anything. Hello? Hello? So, there is something there, but it is hospitality. But in this case, it's not simply about receiving, it is about sharing hospitality. It is, in a sense, flipping the script a little bit, where yes, you may be a recipient of all kinds of hospitality. So yes, you have food and clothing and shelter and all of these other kinds of things. While you are doing all of this, trusting in the fact that God will provide through these different people in acts of hospitality, but your job is not to just simply go, thank you. Your job is to say thank you by showing them what gratitude, what grace can do. And inviting them into that peace that surpasses understanding, that changes this whole script of, did I do enough hospitality? Did I show enough honor and respect? Am I going to earn enough honor and respect for my family and everything else of that because of all the rules and expectations of the culture? To, I receive too? Yes. Hospitality is the key to all of this, though, which is why. I mean, I always thought the end kind of statement was a little excessive, you know. Truly, I tell you, you know, it'll be better for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day than those towns. All these people did was say no. All these people did was not show hospitality. All these people did was not provide as you said they would, so I'm knocking the dust off my feet and I'm going on, and you're telling me that it's going to be that awful for them? Why are you invoking Sodom and Gomorrah? What did they do? And we all know the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah, right? Of course we do, because we all read the scriptures. I dug in a bit this week as I was looking at it, and I'm not going to go there. But let me just simply say, let me say this, it ain't what you think. And if you want to create a moralistic standard off of all the things that happen, you and I need to talk. Because there is some extreme reductionism then, if that's the case. Especially when you think about the fact that there's the story in Genesis with Lot, with Sodom and Gomorrah, and then there is a very, very similar story in Judges that we often don't think about. And if you read both of them, it's something else. But this is what actually the Bible says is the sin of Sodom. The prophet Ezekiel. This was the guilt of your sister Sodom. She and her daughters had pride, excess of food, and prosperous ease, but did not aid the poor and needy. They were haughty and did abominable things before me. Where's the... They had, and they wouldn't give. They had more than enough, and they wouldn't share. They broke every rule of hospitality in the culture. But again, when we talk about hospitality in this case, Jesus sends his disciples out with the promise of support through hospitality. But the reality is he also sends them out to show what the kingdom of God's hospitality is like. And that is raising the dead, cleansing the lepers, casting out the demons, curing the sick. It's about making the kingdom of God near. And please, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, please remember the fact that each and every one of those things, each and every one of those groups of people that Jesus specifically sends his disciples out to, the culture labeled as unrighteous and sinners. As they receive hospitality, which was a mark of righteousness, their job was to go and show hospitality to those who were declared and considered unrighteous. Their job was, as they to grow, to show that the kingdom of God is near, all the while trusting that God is with them, but also reminding them of the fact that God is often with them through their neighbors, which should remind them how they act towards their neighbors. Hospitality, giving and receiving. Later on in the scriptures, the book of Hebrews mentions, "Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for many in doing so have entertained angels unaware." An angel is a messenger. How may you receive a message from a stranger that you show care for? And how might your care be a message that the kingdom of God is near? So remember that God loves you, and so do I. Amen.